And it is now time for Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. Usually do it on the first Tuesday of the month, but we're getting the schedules together for the summertime. We've got the Dr. Jones on the line right now. Good morning, Dr. Jones. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
All right. Great. Well, it's not too far off that school's going to be starting, so tell us about the start dates for students and staff.
Well, Monday, August 29th is the first day for all of our students, welcoming them back. On Wednesday, August 31st, is our orientation for 6th and 9th graders. So they come in a little bit early so they can acclimate to the building, follow their schedules around so that they feel very confident when the full school shows up the next day. And on Thursday, September the 1st, is our first official day for all of our students. We also, on that day, have a later start for kindergarten so that they can come when the building's a little bit quieter and not be overwhelmed with everybody arriving at school for their first day.
All right. And I know that all the superintendents got together yesterday with the Commissioner of Education. You didn't take part in that, but have you met with staff at the schools to get ready for the school year?
Well, that's one of the reasons I was not able to attend the state meeting yesterday. By the time they put the date out, we had already planned our summer retreat for our administrative team. And we've spent the last 2 days together. All of us were at New Lebanon and just had some wonderful workshops and, did some training together as an entire administrative team.
All right. Well, it's been a busy season for appointments. Jonathan Sopranovic has been very busy. You kept him busy with a lot of the releases and a lot of people being brought in. Tell us about a lot of the appointments. I guess is this normal for this time of year?
It is normal for this time of the year. I would say our numbers are a little bit higher this year in that we had, between retirements and quite a few people taking promotional positions, which says a lot for our district, too, that our many on our team are being tapped for bigger positions in other districts. So we're excited for them. But it has been, as of yesterday, we are right around 99 new teachers. We are waiting to possibly hit 100 today or tomorrow.
Is that new teachers?
New teachers, right. Yes.
Now, for
not necessarily new to the profession.
Right.
New to Greenwich Public School.
Correct. Right. But a lot of the administrative and a lot of, I've noticed, are interim positions, interim appointments. Tell us about that, and will these eventually become permanent appointments?
Well, what happens is kind of a waterfall effect. Once you have one interim position, that means if a person takes an interim position that's already inside our district, and that's the case, you have to hold their position. So that at the end of the year, if they don't stay in that interim position and become permanent, they have the right by contract to go back to their job. So what happens is their position that they were currently in also becomes interim because whoever steps into that role, their job is also being preserved by contract. So it's a waterfall effect across the district. So that's why you see so many interim titles.
So the HR department's going to have to stay on top of all of this, to keep. Is that an interim position? Yes, it was. Okay. For example, the latest one with Dr. Charles, he left as a Bella House assistant dean. So that position technically remains open if he decides to go back?
That's correct. We have to by contract. So he took the Windrose position is what he was just named for. To leave at Windrose, which is a promotional position for him. He's very, very excited. And what that means is his position, though, as an assistant dean, must be held for him because he's in an interim position. And so that's why the next assistant dean will have an interim title as well.
Wow. So, I mean, then on the other hand, Diane Chiapetta-Fox, who he replaced, she's interim principal at Hamilton Avenue School, but if she decides to go back, she gets that position at Windrose?
That's correct. That's by contract.
Wow. Okay. Well, a lot of pushing and shoving, I guess, almost musical chairs. Interesting.
Well, often with interims, what happens is they fall in love with the job.
Mm-hmm.
The school community falls in love with them, and they end up in a permanent position. So, and you really just have to wait that out, through the year. And so, it's sometimes you do have a lot of bumping where people do go back. And sometimes you don't. It really just depends, on the relationship for the person who's in the interim and, if they love the work.
All right. Well, one of the appointments, though, is not interim, and that's Blaise Leviton as Chief Operating Officer, taking over in about a couple of weeks, right?
Absolutely. We are absolutely delighted to have Blaise join us as CFO. He knows all of the processes for the town of Greenwich. He's familiar with just the entire structure. When he first started, he worked in the First Selectman's office, and Ben Branion was actually who he reported directly to. So he's familiar with not only the operating budget, but the capital budget. Most recently, he was the assistant director in Park and Rec. So, you know, he's used to the operational side of things. So I think he's going to fit right in, and staff are very, very excited to have him joining us at Havemeyer.
All right. And in fact, tomorrow morning at 8:20, we'll speak with Blaise as with his hat on as assistant Parks and Rec about a survey they have going on. So that one of his last duties as assistant Parks and Rec. So he'll take over August 29th, I believe is the date, correct?
That is correct. We can't wait for him to start.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. So now it's not only been busy for the human resources, but busy for facilities, as it always is over the summer, right?
Facilities is always busy over the summer because so much of the work that we do, you can't do it when children are in school. And we have very small breaks during the year that are not long enough to complete major projects. So a big project for us this summer was completing the exterior structural work at CMS to get rid of that scaffolding that was required at the end of last year. And so that will all be gone when school starts. We have also continued the upgrade of our HVAC system and all of the exterior wall and window systems at Eastern, and that's been a multi-year project because, again, you can't be taking all the windows out of the building or a wing of the building when students are in class, so that's been several summers of work. At ISD, we completed the playground access, and it is now ADA compliant, and that's something we were really looking forward to getting done as well. We also have year number one of upgrading the HVAC at North Street. So that will be a multi-year project as well. And at Western, we installed a dust collection system in their technical lab, and their gym floor was also resurfaced. So that's just touching on a few of the projects. It's been a busy, busy summer for facilities.
And do they have to clear out by the time the school year starts?
Yes, all of these major projects that happen in the summer, infrastructure projects, they must be completed so that we can get staff and students back in the building.
All right, fantastic. We're going to take a break with the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Folk Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. I'm Tony Savino, and we continue now with an update on safety and security as we head into the new school year. Dr. Jones, what's the latest?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm just so grateful for the partnership we have with the Greenwich Police Department. Chief Evie and his staff were with our administrative team yesterday for almost 2 hours and just taking our administrators back through some of the basics and helping us prepare for the beginning of the school year. You know, we expect the beginning of the school year to look very similar to how we ended last year. There'll be more of a presence, which is not unusual at the beginning of the year anyway, because we have so many traffic issues and things of that nature. We generally have more of a police presence. We are looking right now at using private security service to have a building monitor at all of our elementaries and our middle school. And we've been in the process of that throughout the summer months to really look at how that would work. And in doing that, we obviously would go for an interim funding request to the BET and to the RTM because that's not something that is currently in the budget. So we have ongoing discussions there. The board will reconvene towards the end of August to make some decisions. And again, just as a reminder, at the high school, we do have great coverage. We already have two SROs and we have 10 security guards that are on site at the high school. We are also looking at that high school entryway and securing the entry. It did come in over budget, so the board had a quick sense of the meeting discussion about that entryway, and they're really looking at do we request additional funding because the bids came in so high, or is it going to be a redesign of that entry? And so right now, they've kind of given direction to the building committee to look at a redesign so that they can make a good informed decision. Does the redesign save the money that we would need it to? And does it, you know, have an aesthetic, and from a safety standpoint, does it provide what we need?
Okay. There have been at least one, maybe more, school districts that have approved armed guards at the schools. Is Greenwich going down that path?
Right now we're looking at unarmed, but partly, again, that's because we have such a great relationship with our Greenwich Police Department. And with our Greenwich Police, you know, they mobilize, you know, within, you're talking 60 to 120 seconds. We can have somebody on site by the way that they are structured. And so, you know, we feel that unarmed monitors would be better and in many regards safer. And in that, we want to make sure we know, you know, who's responding, what's the level of training. And again, this is all discussion that we have ongoing, you know, with the police department, with the Board of Education.
We're speaking with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus on Education. We mentioned the kind of the kickoff meeting with the Commissioner of Education, with the superintendents, and I'm sure in your meetings, it's been, how do we get the kids back to school in a safe way in the midst, you know, with COVID and so forth. Tell us about those discussions and how we're going to see the new school year.
Well, we are approaching this year, I think, as normal as we can pre-COVID. You know, COVID really, I think, between the vaccine, where we are just nationally, what the statistics are saying, it's become, you know, something that is more similar to when we deal with flu season. And so that's very much the approach that really is even recommended by the CDC right now. You know, we're not quarantining like we would have done in the last few years. We do have self-test kits that are available for students and staff, because we still have people who are testing positive. If they test positive, obviously, you know, they're staying home. A big change in this, state of Connecticut, CDC both support, is that if somebody has mild symptoms, they can actually stay in school. And we just ask them to test, because, you know, in the past, it was difficult to tell. Was it allergies? You know, what was causing somebody to have some of the symptoms? Where now, again, they're not having to be take that really extremely cautious approach that we had over the last 2.5 years. So kids will not be sent home for the sniffles.
Now, if they do have symptoms, would they mask up, or would they have to wear a mask, or no?
Well, must they wear a mask? Let me put it that way. No, we don't have any sort of mandatory masking requirement. If they are having symptoms, you know, a nurse may recommend it, but again, it would be up to the family. And I'm sure, you know, just like when you're out in public or, you know, in our offices, there are some people who still wear a mask on almost a daily basis when they're in groups, and some people who don't. So it will very much be a family and a staff decision on how they approach that.
And if they test positive, kind of guide us through, if they feel okay, do they stay in school? If they don't, obviously they would stay home. Is that how it would go?
Yeah, if they actually are positive, they would stay home, just like you would if you were positive with the flu, because you don't want to be infecting other people and making people sick.
Okay. And would they have the Zoom option then at home?
Probably not this year. And that's something that, again, is really being set by the state. And because I wasn't at yesterday's meeting, I need to see what was shared out yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to do that this morning. So I'll need to reflect on that and see what requirements they've given us for the year.
Right, and I guess in a broader sense, you've pushed for the Zoom option. I guess if they're, you know, in the case of a school, I guess, snow day or anything like that, that would be an option. Any headway on that?
No, they have not. They have not changed direction on that. As far as I know, is up to date.
I see. Okay. And what about the COVID-19 tracker for the district? Will that still be up and running?
We are actually still required to track by the state of Connecticut. And so when we had this discussion about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we'll be continuing it just like we did last year. We won't blast emails out to everybody, but it'll be on our website. And those who want to sign up, you know, to get it in their inbox can, and they can still monitor. But again, it's required by the state of Connecticut, so we will continue that this year.
Now, with so many at-home tests these days, you know, nationwide, they're saying the numbers are probably higher because there's so many at-home tests. How is this guided then by the district? Will all the tests be in school or can they be at home as well?
No, I mean, it's really no different than it was at the end of last year. You know, you're really on the honor system. If somebody gives a test at home and they're positive, we hope they'll do the right thing and not make other people sick. Again, it's just like during flu season, you know, or if a child has something that is contagious, you know, pink eye or anything, you hope that everybody does the right thing. But from that perspective, we have test kits available so that if they need a test kit, we're happy to send them home so that they can test if they're having, you know, somebody in the family is having symptoms. But again, we're not requiring, you know, we don't require that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, as you get ready for the new school year, how are the buses all ready to go? Any changes in bus routes people need to know about? Will they be getting guidance on that?
A lot of guidance will come out over the next 2 weeks. The welcome letters from the school come out in about two more weeks. Class lists will go out, you know, for elementary. Bus route information will go out. What happens right now is they continue each time we enroll a new student, you know, to place them on a route. So they're making sure that, you know, buses are not overfilled, that we have, you know, the buses stopping in the correct places for where children may have moved into the district. So all of that is happening right now.
What are the numbers for the new school year? Are they, there's talk always of people, you know, a lot of people moving into Greenwich and things like that. Are the enrollment numbers up?
You know, from a projection standpoint, we're almost exactly where we were projected to be. From an elementary standpoint, we're up probably 60 students higher than projection. In high school, we're down probably 20. So, you know, but across the district, it's pretty much a wash as far as our projection was kind of right on target.
All right. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, joining me on the Focus on Education show. Tony Savino with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, till 9 o'clock. News, then Doug Steffen, up to Debbie Nagro at 11 o'clock this morning. All right, give us your thoughts on the latest developments with this education specs now for the Central Middle School and the latest with the new school.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted that the Board of Education was able to pass the ed specs and hand those off to the building committee. The building committee has been, you know, working throughout the summer. Their next step is going to be getting their RFP out so that they can select the architect that will then, you know, work on starting that whole design process for the building. And, you know, we're very excited that this work is moving forward and that, you know, right now we're on target. So it's progressing well.
All right. And they meet once a week, the building committee, correct?
You know, I don't know if they're meeting every single week or if that has just been because they're working on specific tasks that have really needed a laser focus through the summer. That would be a question for Tony Turner, the chair of the building committee. But I know he's doing, you know, great work and really rallying them together to keep the whole committee moving forward.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Western Middle School fields. What can you tell us about that and when can the kids get back on them?
Well, I get asked that question quite often. You know, when you're working with soil remediation, you're working with DEEP and you're working with EPA. And it is a serious project, obviously, when you're dealing with environmental issues. Our remediation plan, it has been submitted. It's going basically through that kind of final layer of review of what it is we're planning to do. We got through the testing phase where, because often when you test, then they will turn around and ask for more tests based off, you know, what they see or don't see in the results. So we're for the most part through that phase. Once our remediation plan, you know, gets together, then, you know, the next thing will be preparing for hiring a company, making sure we have the adequate funding, all of those other steps that will come along with getting the actual work started. And how long the work itself will take will very much depend on what is the remediation approach of getting on and off the property, you know, how many days of remediation will it take, and an entire schedule will have to be formulated that will be quite complex.
Hmm. But I guess there's movement, right, moving forward a little bit.
There's absolutely. We've been moving forward since we went into the remediation plan 2 years ago. Before that, it was
kind of sitting still. And once we went into the remediation plan, which we kind of followed the model of the high school, which helped move the high school forward as well. We're in a good spot, but it's not fast. And it's tedious work.
Mm-hmm. I know that we've almost just started the new budget year, but I guess you start putting together a new budget and in the past, Les, it was supply chain issues was one thing. Now it's inflation. How do you work all that into? How are you dealing with that when you're kind of formulating the budget?
Well, the first thing we do is we first of all have to roll up everything that we know. So we look at what we expect our bus contract to be. We look at what teacher salaries are expected to be. We have to go in and look at all of our fixed costs based on everything that we know. And then you have to go in and look at what is happening, from an inflationary standpoint, everything, when it comes to things like materials and supplies. And, even our software contracts, most of our software companies are trying to push 20% increases. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not pushing back on those. We certainly are, and some of them, if it's an analysis and we need to cut back half of the contract, we will do that if needed. But there are some real challenges in just supplies in general.
Yeah. All right. How's your summer gone?
I've had a great summer. We don't take the summer off. As an administrator, you work year-round. There's a lot of important work that takes place in the summer months, but I did take a week off, and it's the first time I've been off since pre-COVID, so it was fantastic. Was in an area of the country where it was 60 degrees while it was almost 100 here, so that was also great.
You timed your vacation very well to a nice place at a right time, right?
I did. I think I got lucky.
Yeah. All Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, I guess it's only going to be a couple weeks before school's going to start, and then we'll get you, I think it's the day after Labor Day.
I think so. I think that is our next discussion.
All right, fantastic. And by that time, we'll have a feel for the start of the school year, right?
Absolutely. We're ready. We'll be ready to go, and we're excited about having a fantastic year, welcoming all of our families and students and teachers back.
99 new teachers. Is that what you said?
It was 99 as of yesterday. I'm sure it will hit 100 today or tomorrow.
All right, fantastic. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time this morning. Well, enjoy what's left of the summer.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones.